Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast, where we embark on a journey of financial and time freedom. We'll explore the worlds of franchise business ownership, passive investing, and entrepreneurship of all types as a means to live life on your own terms. We'll dive into the winning mindsets that pave the way for success and a true life of freedom. Join me as I share what myself and many other successful entrepreneurs have learned to unlock the formula for entrepreneurial growth and the freedom that can come with that. I'm your host, Wes Barefoot, and it's my mission to share what I've learned and what I continue to learn as I build a life of freedom through business ownership. I'm glad you're here. Your path to freedom starts now. Hey everyone, thank you so much for being here. Before we kick off this week's episode, just a quick ask. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell to make sure that you never miss an episode, never miss out on any of the strategies and tactics that we're sharing to help you continue charting your own path to freedom. And if you'd like to go deeper with any of this, we've launched a free Facebook group, which you can join at pathtofreedom.com/group. And we've linked that in the show notes to make it easy for you to find. All right. Thank you again for being here. Let's drop in to the episode. Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast, everyone. Thank you for dropping in to another episode. Today, I'm joined by Wayne Holloway, and Wayne is the founder and CEO of Best Choice Roofing. Wayne, thank you for being here.
Wes, no, thank you.
So this is a brand I've been watching for a while, and I have to admit I've had a little head trash around the roofing industry. And then I finally said, you know what, like, I'm clearly missing something here. You know, this company is just growing by leaps and bounds year over year, it looks like. So I've got to dig in and learn a little bit more. And so I think, you know, any head trash I did have is pretty much gone now. I think it was all, you know, kind of misconceptions that I had. But anyways, excited to have you here to share a little bit more about Best Choice Roofing with us today, Wayne.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to get rid of any more head trash you might have.
That's always a good thing if we can dump some head trash, right?
That's right.
And so with that, I mean, just kind of, obviously you guys are in the roofing business. That's kind of self-explanatory, but, you know, give us kind of a high level view of what Best Choice Roofing is, you know, exactly, you know, how the company's structured, because you were telling me, you know, before there's kind of three legs to it. And then, you know, what is Best Choice Roofing actually specialize in? Is it, you know, new construction, remodels, roof repair? Give us a little bit of that.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, we are, you know, Best Choice Roofing is a sales organization. We put roofs on, but at the end of the day, we are a sales and recruiting organization. We try to be a good steward of the industry, right? We introduce people into the roofing industry. Most of our franchisees and most of my employees over the last 15 years, I mean, they didn't come from the roofing business. They came from other industries and just learned the roofing business. So that's why I think we're a good steward of the industry. We're bringing people in that have never been a part of the industry and really kind of teaching them, you know, how to be successful in this business model. You know, earlier before the podcast, we had talked about, you know, my company is comprised of what we call three legs. And we've got franchising is one piece, but we've also got corporately owned stores. We've got a little over 20 corporately owned stores. And then we have a little over 30 partner stores, which we refer to as the affiliates. And really what that allows me to do, being a good franchisor, is it allows me to really get practice done on the corporate level or the affiliate level before we introduce things to the franchisee, which has been proven to be very successful.
Yeah. And that's huge, because I was going to point that out. I've worked for two different franchisors earlier in my career. You know, my wife and I have owned and still own a couple of franchise businesses, and both of the franchisors I worked for had that corporate market model, right, where they operated the business in numerous markets across the country in addition to franchising it. And, you know, for those brands, franchising was the core of the business, but they ran these corporate markets as a way to, you know, number one, just stay close to the business, right? So they didn't get kind of jaded and, you know, were still able to see it the same way that the franchisees saw the business. They had the same challenges, they had the same struggles, but they also used it as kind of like a playground, right? To just try different stuff, pilot mm-hmm. different ideas. You know, if there was a new marketing campaign that they were thinking about rolling out before they'd, you know, ask franchisees to volunteer, they'd go run it in the corporate markets and then they'd come back with the results. So that's hugely beneficial in my eyes. You know, if you're a franchisee and your franchisor, you know, really kind of has their money where their mouth is too, they're out there operating the same business, numerous markets across the country, especially if it sounds like they approach it the way you guys are, which is you're proactively looking for new opportunities, ways that you can get better, you know, in these corporate markets and then bring it back to the franchisees.
Oh, certainly. No, I mean, it allows us amongst all of that, allows us to be relatable. I mean, at the end of the day, franchisee, yeah. I've got a good relationship with a good handful of them, and they can pick up the phone and bounce ideas off of me, bounce problems off of me. And it really allows me, to be honest with you, to be one step ahead of most of the franchisees, because no matter what they've dealt with or are dealing with, been there, done that, so to speak. And it really helps me be relatable. And at the end of the day, that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you gotta be able to relate to your franchisees. They've got to feel like they can relate to you, and you know, just feel like you're in it together. That's why franchising works when it's done that way. So, tell us a little bit, like, where is Best Choice Roofing today? Because this is a huge organization at this point. So, give us kind of a rundown. You know, how many franchisees or franchise locations do you have? How many on the affiliate side? Because I know I was blown away when I saw some of these numbers.
Yeah, you know, it's a little humbling to say. I mean, I used to know everything about everything, but it's growing so quick on me that it's hard to keep up. I mean, all three legs of the organization are blossoming right now. You know, earlier on, I said we've got a little over 20 stores. That is that's key words for I don't really know exactly how many we have, but I know it's at least 20 corporate stores. That's yeah. right.
Yeah.
Same with the affiliates. We're a little over 30 stores. In franchisees, you know, I believe if everybody who opens, it's kind of in the pipeline, meaning, you know, they've signed a franchise agreement, just haven't opened yet. I think if everybody opened up their doors, I believe we'd be over 30 franchisees. Don't hold me to that, but it's growing like crazy. Seems like every day we're making an announcement for a new branch, which is humbling for a guy who just started with a dream 15 years ago, to be honest.
It's exciting and it's fun to see. And so that's where I'd love to go next, if you're open to it, is I'd love to hear a little bit of your backstory. You know, how did you get into the roofing business? I know you mentioned that, you know, most of your franchisees that are coming in now are not experienced in the roofing industry. How did you get into it? And, you know, you just kind of alluded to this being, you know, humbling, but, you know, what was kind of the vision when you first started? Like, did you ever envision it turning into something as big as it is today? And you know, I mean, clearly you guys are still growing. You're not showing any signs of slowing down anytime soon. So I'd love to learn a little bit about that.
Well, man, yeah, I've been in sales my whole life, and just like most sales guys, just spent the first years of my career just bouncing around looking for the greenest grass that I could find. And at one point, I landed with another roofing company, didn't do what we do. They used to use just a call center, and a call center would just randomly make phone calls to randomly people and say, hey, when was the last time you had your roof looked at to see if you had any storm damage? And I remember one day I drove, it was like an hour away from the house running a lead. I drove an hour, you know, and I passed hundreds and hundreds of people that needed my help to go to this one person that turns out wasn't even home. They stood me up. And so while I was out there, I'm standing looking at their house, and I looked at their neighbor's house. I saw that they had damage. So I said, well, heck, I done drove an hour. Let me go talk right. to the neighbor. Right, I'm here. And I said, hey, buddy, I said, you know, you got damage to your roof. You thought about talking to your insurance company or, you know, a pitch similar to that. And sure enough, signed him up right there on the spot. And the whole way home, I just thought to myself, I said, why did I drive an hour, right? I mean, I passed this guy, passed that guy. So that night I actually turned in my resignation and just, you know, a young 23-year-old kid at the time, just looking to pay his bills. I said, man, I'll start my own roofing company. It can't be that hard. Little did I know. And just started this concept. I'm pretty proud of it at the time. I was I'm pretty proud of it now, but at the time was hiding my car from the repo man. My house was about to get foreclosed on, and I had a little over $100 in my bank account. I went all in. I had a 96 Lincoln Town car at the time. You know, I don't know if you know anything about them, but I had the air ride suspension that notoriously would go out. So
yeah. Yeah.
Back into you the car
around praying the suspension doesn't go out on you.
It did. And the back end would just kind of drag as I drove.
Oh, man, yeah.
I remember
I think there's people that pay to have that done to their cars these days, though. They actually pay extra to get that.
It wasn't that ideal in my circumstance, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a cool story. And the fact that you turned your resignation in that night, like once you kind of had this realization or this aha moment, I think a lot of people would have stewed on it for a while or talked themselves out of taking action that quickly. It sounds like you just saw a better way of doing it and didn't overthink it, right? And didn't allow yourself to, you know, kind of stay.
I was young.
What I imagine would be a little more comfortable, you know, with an employer.
Well, I mean, as a 23-year-old guy at the time with no kids, no wife or anything, I really didn't have anything to lose. And
Like
I said, I just bounce around looking for greener grass.
We'll get right back to the episode in just a minute, but if you've been considering business ownership, if you're already a business owner looking to expand and you're curious about franchising, I'd love to connect with you, answer any initial questions that you have, talk about a specific franchise, and detail the exact process that I use and have taken hundreds of people through to help them understand franchise ownership, find the right franchise for them, and conduct the necessary due diligence. Click the link in the show notes if you'd like to schedule a free, no obligation strategy call. I look forward to talking with you. And now back to the episode. That's interesting. So you guys were at that time, the company you're working for just using call centers, and it was very random, I assume, right? Whoever happened to pick up the phone, whoever happened to agree. So what did you take from that in terms of learning and do differently when you launched the Best Choice Roofing business?
Well, I realized real quick that, I mean, I needed to have a better model and I needed to be more aggressive at getting customers. So, you know, that day, you know, like I said, I mean, then like a couple of days after I turned in my resignation, I mean, the logo, right over here, you know, the logo, you know, I created that thing on Microsoft Word or my computer. Yeah. If you know, that flashback to old school there, but it just did it on Microsoft Word and, you know, got me a couple of flyers printed up at the local UPS store. Man, I just started ringing doorbells. And what I realized was I didn't have to drive an hour away to go find somebody who needed my help. Right. I had to take a left out of my driveway and I could go find people who needed my help.
Well, if someone's got storm damage, chances are everyone else in that neighborhood is a prime candidate for storm damage on their roof, right?
Yeah, it's likely, especially if you find like a subdivision that was built at the same time and that person has the existing roof that was put on by that builder, then, you know that if they have damage, the likelihood that their neighbors do as well. And it just blossomed on me quickly. And, that's how the business started. But, you know, the light bulb for expansion was a whole different moment in time.
So how long did it take for the idea of expansion to cross your mind?
Didn't take long. You know, I've built this business with the understanding that if you focus on your employee, if you give your employees the opportunity for growth, that the company in turn will grow. And that seems cliche. And a lot of people say that just to seem cool, but
yeah,
it really is the truth in this organization. So back in 2010, I'd been open for about a year. I remember in right down the road, a little bitty horrible looking office, but it worked at the time. I had two gentlemen that worked for me that both could have been my general manager and both wanted to be my general manager, but my challenge was I only had one branch in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And remember, I sat down with them, had a couple of beers one night. They both wanted it. They both could do it. And I realized that I was going to lose one of those guys because I only had one spot. And so it dawned on me. And I said, well, what if I go open up another office in like Clarksville, Tennessee, which is what I did. It's about an hour drive from here. So I shot up to Clarksville, Tennessee, and I still think I was driving that 96 town car at the time, to be honest with you. God rest its soul. And took 24 West and drove to Clarksville, Tennessee, drove around, found an office. I think at the time it was like $900 a month, which was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Sweet talked the lady into like a 6 month lease. I spent all night, one night painting the place, getting everything ready, and boom. And I had two offices. I had two guys that could run both offices. And to be honest with you, it was at that moment that the light bulb kind of went off, right? If I just give people the opportunity in this industry, if I just front the expense for the office and what they need to be successful, man, this thing will explode. And at that point is when I said, I think I'm onto something here. And I truly, again, seems cliche, but just my goal since day one is just to build, has been to build the biggest and best roofing company in all of America. And we are well on our way to doing that.
You are well on your way to doing that. So for the listeners, can you explain a little more, like when you say opened an office or opened a branch, you know, what does that entail? And what does the staffing kind of need to look like if you're a franchisee, you know, with your own office or branch or territory, however you refer to it? Because I imagine some people are listening to this and they're thinking, well, you know, I've got to employ all these people that are, you know, doing the actual manual labor of repairing a roof or putting a new roof on. What does the actual infrastructure and staffing need to look like in order to be able to get going? Obviously, it grows as the business grows, I'm sure. But what kind of bare minimum that's needed to get started?
And that's, you know, and that's part of our onboarding. We really pride ourselves on kind of helping people through that. I mean, we help pick out what the office should look like, the layout of the office, how many offices there are, how large the conference room is, the parking look like. You know, we've been doing this for 15 years and we've learned all of the mistakes on our own. So we really kind of help you pick out the office. And then once you get the office situated and you get it up to brand standards, as far as, you know, there's things that we would ask you to put on the walls and things like that. Things got a reason behind it. You know, in 15 years of doing this, everything that we do, there's a reason why that we actually do it. So once we get an office secured, get it ready to open, we ask that they employ what we call an office administrator. And he or she is the face of that branch, you know, the person you see when you first walk in, the person who keeps the paperwork and the processes in place, the, you know, kind of helps communicate between four branch and really just the face of that local office. You know, in addition to that, what we also ask is for the franchisee to determine, are you the guy that can run the sales force or do we need to find that person? And so depending on how that question is answered, you know, we actually, you know, we'll be on the interview, listen in, and kind of give you our thoughts on that person. But we've got to find that individual who can lead the sales force.
Yeah.
That A-type personality, that yes, hungry, energetic guy or gal that can push. And then once we have that person, right, then we start finding our sales reps. And like I said earlier, we're a sales and recruiting company that just happens to install roofs. And we have recruiting, which is the hardest part of it, to be honest with you, is recruiting your salespeople, because it's a never ending battle, right? I mean, if you have a sales force, you know, you can't go hire five or six people and then poof, man, my sales team is built. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. And this is a commissioned only sales rep that you're bringing on in this case, correct?
Yes, sir. Commissioned only. So the only expense that you incur to bring somebody on is some training pay. You know, my corporate, my affiliate locations, we do W-2. And so and everybody should, especially with the new 1099 laws that actually just went into effect. I mean, every roofing salesperson should be W-2, and that's going to take the industry by storm, to be honest. That's a rabbit hole. All of our sales reps that we employ are W-2. So we put them through training, which is about 20 hours up front. So that's really your only expense to get your new hires onboarded. And then you had asked earlier about, you know, like the crews. That's what everybody thinks is, wow, I've got to have this big office with a yard for materials.
And yeah, warehouses, forklifts. Yeah.
Right. No, sir. That is, I wanted to build this where I didn't have to deal with that. So we choose an office. It's usually in like either in an office complex or like in an industrial area that's got like a roll up door with a small little, you know, set of offices in the front. But we do that really just because it just kind of fits the bill, right? I mean, if you go interview for a roofing company, you don't really expect to show up to a, you know, a place like I'm sitting in.
Or a WeWork or something like that. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as far as the crews go, it's all subcontracted out. We vet our subcontractors. We've got ways of finding them. We help our franchisees secure subcontractors. And, you know, doing it our way, where we have the materials drop the day of installation and we use a subcontractor, really allows the franchisee to not have to worry about having a yard or a warehouse or a forklift, meeting the crews at 6 o'clock, signing out tools, trailers, things like that. Really allows our franchisee to either he or she does it or employs a production manager that go meet the subcontractor on the job site early in the morning, get the job kicked off. The materials are there on site. Then when we're done, our subs should have a trailer full of trash that they go dump at the local dump. They move on to the next job. So it's pretty easy.
I'm kind of smiling as you say all that, because one of the franchises we own was an insulation business, and we built it for about 3.5 years, just sold it at the tail end of last year. And, you know, we did pretty well with it, but everything you're pointing out about Best Choice Roofing and why it's pretty easy for your franchisees, because we did not sub out the labor and the installs. We had W-2 employees doing that. I'm shaking my head going, yep, that's where all of our headaches came from. We didn't have trouble selling the product, right? I mean, everyone needs a roof on their head. Everyone needs their house insulated. And, you know, sometimes those things have to be repaired or fixed. We didn't have trouble selling, right? But being there early, signing tools out, managing inventory, getting inventory to the job site,
just all of that stuff. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the subcontracting out of, you know, call it manual labor and these types of, you know, home service, home improvement business models is somewhat common. And in my experience, a lot of people, speaking of head trash, a lot of people have some head trash around subcontracting out, right? Well, it's, you know, it's my business's reputation on the line, right? So how can I get comfortable sending these subcontractors in? You know, you want to probably have things done a certain way, right? When it comes to the installs and things like that. You know, how am I going to find good subcontractors? I don't want to have this kind of revolving door of subcontractors. Why does it work in roofing? And what are the keys to finding the right types of subcontractors? And why is it a beneficial relationship when one of your franchisees works with a good subcontractor?
Yeah, I mean, you're finding the subcontractor, especially if you're from that market. I mean, rely on, you know, the relationships that you have, relationships that we introduce you to, you know, our local manufacturer reps that have been in that market, in that space for, you know, 2 years to 20 years. That's lean huge. On the local distribution partners to at least point you in the right direction or steer you away from, you know, people that you probably shouldn't talk to.
Yeah.
Once we find a few people or a few subcontractors who, you know, who are recommended to us, we sit down with them, talk through their pricing. And again, that's pretty easy, just the way the business is structured. And then we vet them. And when I say we, you know, corporate has got in place a lot of checks and balances that we share with the franchisees, a bunch of best practices that we share.
Yeah. So you guys, it does sound like, I mean, at this point, especially, I have so much experience through these corporate markets, your affiliate locations, the franchisees that you have, knowing what to look for in a good subcontractor, you know, helping franchisees find the right ones, evaluate pricing, you know, hey, this pricing looks, you know, like it's par for the course, or, you know, this pricing looks like it may be a little higher than what you would want. You know, in your experience, would you agree, because you've mentioned numerous times now that, you know, Best Choice Roofing is a sales and marketing organization, right? And that's what you have to be good at to really be successful in that business. Seems like a lot of the trades businesses, roofing, paint, things like that, the crews that actually do the work, they know that, but the sales and marketing piece tends to be their weak point, right? So it's beneficial to a good, you know, if you run a roofing crew and you're damn good at roofing, right, but sales and marketing's not your forte, sure is nice to partner with a company that's got the sales and marketing piece dialed in, and that's just a mutually beneficial relationship.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean, a subcontractor is like a, you know, we act as a, we're a licensed GC. So, I mean, it's a win-win. I mean, we want as few relationships with subs as we can have. They yeah. want as few relationships with their contractors as they can have. So as if we can help get the franchisee ramped up, and it, you know, it takes time, but once you get to the point to where you can give that subcontractor a job every single day, I mean, that just creates such a good bond. I mean, keeps yeah. him from having to go work from somebody else and chase down other checks, and it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. I think a lot of people
know this for years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. But I believe it. I mean, one of our franchises right now, we use subcontractors for our installations. And I mean, I've had the same four guys for 5 years now, yeah. you know,
I think appreciate a lot you of, just as much as you appreciate them. I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad to say, but one of our guys is a firefighter. And for the last 3 years, he's made more installing for us on the side than he's made as a firefighter, like by a good bit. You know,
oh, yeah.
I wish they paid firefighters more, but,
that's right, yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it's great for them. It's great for us. I think a lot of people though, when they hear that term subcontractor, their mind goes to sketchy, unreliable, someone that I don't even know going into my client's house. And I'm going to, you know, constantly be battling turnover and having to scramble and find new subcontractors. It can happen that way, right? Doesn't have to happen that way. And it sounds like you guys have, you know, clearly, you know, built a pretty good system for helping your franchisees, you know, find the right types of contractors that can really turn into long-term partners for them.
Yeah. I mean, once you apply the best practices that we give our franchisees on the criteria that you're looking for a subcontractor, I mean, once a subcontractor has gone through and can check all of those boxes, and I mean, it's extensive, but then once they can check all of those boxes, I mean, they're running a pretty smooth outfit that's put together pretty well. And it does help weed out some of those unscrupulous guys that you don't want to deal with.
I bet. Yeah. And that's hugely helpful, especially, you know, if you're coming in, you don't have experience in roofing or, you know, in the trades at all, you wouldn't probably know to ask or look for a lot of the things on the type of checklist that you're giving them.
Hey everyone, we'll be right back to the episode, but one quick note, you know, success doesn't happen in a vacuum. So if you'd like to learn more, you want to go deeper and interact with like-minded people, I'd love to have you join the free Path to Freedom Facebook group. You can join by going to pathtofreedom.com/group and become a part of the Path to Freedom community. All right, back to the episode.
With that, just to make sure people understand, so you're subbing out the labor, the customer, or in most cases, I guess this is the customer's insurance company, right? Is the core business roof replacement or repair from storm damage where it's being paid for by the insurance company?
Yeah, a huge portion of it is, and we've started to champion the phrase weather damage, right? If you think storm damage, right, in people's minds, they think that a storm has to occur, a tornado, a big hailstorm, tornado, hurricane, something like that. But that's not what I've built my business on. I've built my business on repairing and replacing people's roofs that have suffered weather damage. If you think about it, a 15 or an 18 year old roof that's just been beat up by the sun day in, day out, it doesn't need a storm to be damaged, right? It needs weather. A wind gust of 15, 20, 25 mile an hour winds will actually create enough damage under certain circumstances to warrant a full roof replacement. So we've used storm damage for 13 years and actually within about the last year, we've gotten away from that and just started using weather damage. And it's more relatable for our customers, relatable for the franchisees and just everybody, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a really good point, because I could see, you know, if someone came and knocked on my door and was like, hey, have you checked your roof for storm damage lately?
Right.
First thought would be like, well, we haven't had any storms lately, so we're probably good.
In the middle of January, they look at you like you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I bet. That's a really good point. But So in the vast majority of cases, your franchisee or affiliate locations are being paid by the homeowner's insurance company.
Correct.
Right. So then,
well, I'm sorry. No, but the insurance company, because we don't contract with them, we contract with the homeowner. So the insurance
company's paying the homeowner, and then they turn around and pay you. And homeowner has a deductible or whatever, you know, however they have their home insurance policy set up.
Yeah, we call it a copay.
Copay. Yeah.
Deductible just confuses people for some reason.
Yeah. It always has confused me. Deductible, copay. To me, I always kind of, I guess I've gotten that wrong for a long time. In my mind, they mean the same thing. I don't even know what the difference is, but beside the point, I suppose. So they pay a copay. Then your franchisees turn around, pay their subcontractors, pay their salesperson a commission. Obviously what's left over after all of their costs is their profit. So is there any component to the business where, you know, your franchisees are spending money on marketing and advertising, or is there any component where you're, you know, working with builders on new construction, or is it really just that repair and replacement model that you just kind of outlined?
Yeah, I mean, we focus on repair and replacement through using insurance company proceeds. Now, I did launch in February of last year and really guinea pigged it with some of my corporate stores, what we call our retail division. And our retail division is really aimed at capturing the customers who make outbound requests to roofing companies, people who go on Google, Facebook, right? People who don't want to use insurance, but they need a new roof. And there's still, I'm assuming, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of those people every single year. Yeah. That deal with that. So we actually started our retail division in February to capture that. We do lead gen in-house. So we drive the customer, either through form or through phone call to our call center who sets the lead, qualified lead. We assign that lead, and then we actually provide the franchisee and his or her salespeople kind of a white glove service on how to sell that lead. We give them all the aerial measurements they need. We provide them a better, best type breakdown based on their pricing metrics and really give that franchisee or sales rep everything that they need so that when they show up to the customer's appointment, they've got all the pricing, all the measurements, and really all they need to do is verify the damage, verify measurements, go to the kitchen table and try to close that person sitting there at the table. So we've gotten really good at that. We've launched it in, I think it's probably operating at about 16 of our locations currently, got a few franchisees on board. And it's generating quite a bit of revenue for us already.
Yeah, very cool. I can see that being kind of low-hanging fruit because it's, I'm sure, quite a few people out there that fall into that category and are not in a position where they want to or are able to work through their insurance company, but they still need some work done on their roof. Sure. Talk to me a little bit about manufacturing or material relationships, because I imagine that's another area that you guys are really able to add value to your franchisees and your affiliates is through, leveraging your size, right, and buying material across the system or the brand from the same suppliers. You know, that's usually a way that franchisors can really drive value to their owners.
Oh, and we certainly do. You know, we've the rebate programs that we have in place have taken me 15 years of negotiating to get to. And proud to say that our franchisees, they walk into what took me 15 years of negotiating. They walk into reaping some of the benefits of that day one. So the first thing they buy, Owens Corning, which is our preferred manufacturer that we currently use. You know, I just got back from California this week. We were named fourth time in a row their largest platinum preferred contractor in America. Just want to kind of plug that if I could. But Owens Corning is, they've got a rebate program in place that you're able to get day one. In addition to that, they've got a program called the Platinum Preferred Roofing Contractor. And it normally takes people a long time to get in. I mean, it could take some roofing companies years to get in. We actually have contractually gotten an agreement in place with them to where we can fast track our franchisee through to that system inside of 120 days if they meet certain criteria. So in addition to that, we've spent some time talking about rebates with OC, but you know, our large distribution partners, ABC, SRS, Beacons of the world, we've got national programs in place with them. And then also, I mean, it allows a franchisee to kind of walk into the door of their local ABC office. You know, if they've gone through confirmation day, they get to meet one of the national account reps for one of these large distribution partners. And sometimes they'll fly out there, give them the white glove service, introduce them to the local branch manager, say, hey, this is, you know, this is Wes with Best Choice Roofing. Let's take care of them from the get-go, kind of help you get your account set up, your credit set up if you need to, and essentially, A, get you better pricing than anybody else probably in your market's getting just because you're part of that BCR logo.
And that's huge. You know, the rebates, the franchises that we've owned and still own, you know, we had rebates in place, you know, through the manufacturers that we worked with. And, you know, in some instances, you know, that was generating close to six figures, if not more than six figures in income for us as owners outside of, you know, our profits from the business that year. Cause as we're, you know, factoring our pricing and giving quotes or estimates, we're not factoring rebates or potential future rebates into any of that. Right. So, you know, one thing I always tell people that I work with and kind of coach through this process, if you're looking at a franchise where there's a rebate component of any sort, you know, and you're talking to franchisees and trying to get a sense of, you know, the earning potential and the profitability potential, like make sure you're asking about rebates, because a lot of franchisees may share some financial numbers with you, but they're not even thinking about the rebates and what they got in rebates. Like you want to make sure you're asking questions so that you get the full picture. Yeah. Because in some businesses, and it's not guaranteed, right? But in some of these businesses, the rebates are pretty significant, or the potential for the rebates is pretty significant.
Hey everyone, we'll get right back to the episode, but I wanted to quickly share a free resource with you. If you're curious about franchise ownership and want to learn more about how countless people, including myself, have leveraged franchising as a way to create more freedom for themselves and to take control of their livelihood, I've put together an ebook. It's called Franchise Wealth Creation, and it's the perfect starting point for anyone that's just curious to learn more about this whole franchise thing and how I've helped hundreds of other people navigate all the steps involved in understanding and researching franchising. So click the link in the show notes, fill out a short form. I'll send you the ebook. I think it's a great starting point if you're curious at all about learning more about franchising. All right, let's get back to the episode.
I know I've got you only for a few more minutes, and there's a couple other things I'd love to pick your brain on, but so one of the things you mentioned earlier, you know, we've established this is a sales and marketing business, right? And I think that's where some of my head trash on roofing in general was kind of like I, you know, discussed with people thinking about subcontractors in a certain way. I looked at this as being such a challenging business because of how you had to build a sales force and, you know, constantly be, you know, hiring and pushing these salespeople to go out and, you know, canvas neighborhoods and knock on doors. And in my mind, that always just felt like just not the best strategy. You guys have clearly proven that that is a very viable strategy that can work very, very well. I mean, we don't get into numbers on this podcast, but I've seen some of the numbers that your franchisees are putting up. And there's people out there that have built very high performing sales teams, you know, doing it that way. So like, what was I missing, you know, when I was thinking about it that way? And like, what are the keys to success for your franchisees when it comes to building those sales teams? Cause it is, I mean, you're hiring, I know you said they're W-2, but it's a commission only gig, right? Like that's kind of a rare breed of salesperson that's going to take that and then really run with it and thrive and be there for, you know, more than a few months.
Yeah, you know, I'll say that the one thing that I can attribute so much of our growth to is the culture that we have within the organization. There is an art form to recruiting, maintaining, and managing a commission-only sales force. And when I say an art form to that. And
yes.
So we spend a lot of effort, energy, time, and money into developing our culture, adding things onto our culture, engaging with our salespeople. And so that's the main thing that we try to get our franchisees to understand, right? I mean, regardless of what you've done in the past and how successful you've been, please understand that, I mean, the business model works. I mean, it's proven, you know, proof's in the item 19. But what's not in the item 19 is how we drive our people to achieve those numbers and become successful. And our culture is unique. It's quirky. It's different. It's odd to people who've not been in the system. But what I would tell everybody is if you come on board and you decide that this is what you want to do, the culture works, right? I mean, I can't define it, but when you look at the item 19, the one thing that you don't see that you should see is the driving force to get you there. And it's the culture, and it's quirky. Yeah. It's different. It's unique. It's hard to understand. But we do our best to immerse you in it as quick as we can.
Yeah. To me, that makes a lot of sense. And in one of our businesses, our sales people, we call them designers, but they're commission only as well. And, you know, my wife gets all the credit for this because that's really kind of her business that she primarily runs, but totally agree when you say there's an art form to building a commission only sales team. I mean, she's got, you know, one of, if not the highest performing sales teams in that franchise system. And, you know, so she's constantly having other franchisees or, you know, people that are looking at the franchise call and want to validate with her. And, you know, one of the things she always says, she's like, I don't treat them like they're commission only salespeople, right? Like they feel like they're part of a team. She came from pharmaceutical sales, my wife, right? So she did that for a few years out of college. And then we started, you know, moving down the franchise path. So she took a lot of what she learned from, you know, the good sales managers that she had in pharma. And, you know, that's everything from a lot of time training, a lot of time coaching. She does a lot of, you know, riding along with our designers or salespeople and, you know, giving them feedback and coaching. Quarterly meetings, right? She sits down because when you have commission only salespeople, a lot of times they're not all going to have the same goals, right? At least in our business, we have some people that like the fact that it can be a more flexible kind of part-time gig and they don't want to work full-time.
Yeah.
So she sits down with them quarterly and has them lay out their goals, right? And then she has monthly meetings with them to show them, you know, how they're tracking towards their goals and what they, you know, where they have an opportunity to get better if they're maybe not on track. So the point is, and it sounds like you guys have a very similar culture in that, you know, the salespeople feel like they're part of an organization. They're almost part of a family. How they get paid is irrelevant, right? But I think a lot of people, I've seen this in our franchise that we own where everyone's commission only, a lot of the franchisees out there, they treat them as such, right? And they feel like they're out on an island, you know, as a salesperson. They truly feel like an independent contractor. And so I think that's a huge point to highlight because I know, you know, when people start looking at franchises and they start hearing terms like subcontractor and commission only, it freaks a lot of people out, but it doesn't have to, you know, and there is, you know, clearly good ways that you can build an organization that way. You guys seem like you've figured it out.
I appreciate that. Well, it's a sales organization built by a sales guy. So, I mean, I try to stay relatable. So I know what it takes to drive success in these markets.
So one last question before I let you go. I mean, where's this thing going from here? What's the big, hairy, audacious goal? Or where do you see this thing 10, 15 years from now?
The goal is, as it's always been, to build the biggest and baddest roofing organization on the planet. We are well on our way, but I enjoy watching people grow and succeed, not to be cliche, right? I mean, I'm at the stage of my life where I'm building this company because I love the company and I love what it does and what it stands for. And as long as we've got that mentality and I'm surrounded by a set of good people, which I am, then the sky is the absolute limit. Now, I mean, I've got a lot of cool things on the horizon, but I'm not ready to tip my hat to that just yet, but we got a lot of cool stuff on the horizon.
I love it. Wayne, you're the man, and was a pleasure sitting down with you for a little bit, and look forward to watching you and Best Choice continue to grow. Where can people check out Best Choice Roofing if they need it for their own home? Where can they see if there's a location near them? If they're interested in learning more about becoming a franchisee, where should they go?
Yeah, no, well, like I plugged earlier, we own weatherdamage.com. So please check us out online, do a little research on us. And we are beyond proud to have partnered with Franchise Fastlane. So they handle all of our incoming inquiries. And yeah, we're an open book. Hop on a management call, ask, poke around, and I think you'll like what you see.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. This is one of these, what I like to call dirty, unsexy service businesses, but you know, there's a lot of potential with something
it
like
pays
this.
Pays well.
Absolutely. Right. That's the thing is it's, for me, it's a lot of fun putting these types of businesses on people's radar, because it's, you know, not what a lot of people set out looking for when they think, hey, I'm going to go check out franchising. And what so many people come back to is, you know, it's businesses like these that can not only pay well and be incredibly lucrative, you don't need millions of dollars to get the business up and running either, you know. So these types of businesses are a lot of fun for me to learn about and kind of spotlight here on the podcast. So, Wayne, thank you so much for being here, man. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. So thank you for dropping in here on the Path to Freedom podcast.
Yeah, no, Wes, thank you for your time. Thanks for having me.